Welcome to NCC Unplugged, the podcast from Norwin Christian Church, where conversations, community, and culture converge.
Welcome back to another episode of NCC Unplugged. We are excited that you joined us for another episode, and we're going back a little bit as I'm here interviewing Garrett Crawford, our Minister of Small Groups and Outreach.
Hello.
Hi, Garrett. Thanks for joining us.
Garrett sounds so excited to be here.
That's just my normal
I think he's worried.
Greeting.
He's not
Hello.
Sure what we're going to ask.
A little worried about our questions here a little bit.
I'm not good at...
I gave him the challenge ahead of time to do this interview without using any Greek or Latin.
What about Hebrew? You didn't say Hebrew?
No. Just use Matt Mastriani vocabulary that I know and understand.
So. I'd rather talk about theology and depth than myself.
Well, today we're talking about you.
Yep, so, it's all about you, man.
If you remember a few episodes ago, I interviewed Jonathan Slatt. Jonathan Slatt interviewed me. Get a little bit of background of who you're listening to on this podcast. So we thought we would do that with Garrett Crawford. Garrett Crawford is our newest member on staff. Mm. And you've already been here for over a year now.
Has it been that long?
Yeah. Started in January 15th. Of last year, not this year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the really exciting things when we were hiring Garrett, we had never had a position like that before. We didn't have a full-time staff position for small groups or for outreach. Mm-hmm. Before that, Joshua, as associate minister, was doing that as part of the other duties of an associate minister. And as we continued to grow as a church and we were really looking towards what God was having us do in this community, we knew outreach needed to play a bigger part. Our small groups were booming. We needed a little bit more focused organization with that, as Joshua had done so good getting them organized and off the ground in many ways. And so we're really excited when we announced that position. And now we found Garrett. So he's been doing it for about a year. But Garrett, you tell us a little bit of who you are, your history, where did you grow up, your family of origin, all that stuff.
So I grew up all 18 years of my life in West Virginia, just outside of Winchester, Virginia. So eastern panhandle of West Virginia, about an hour and a half from Morgantown, which would be more familiar with people mm-hmm. around here. Mm-hmm. Which in college, I would always jokingly say I'm from the armpit of America. I loved growing up where I did. Smaller community, everyone kind of knows everyone to a certain degree. One high school, so it was the largest square mile county in West Virginia, but we only had one high school kind of in the center of the county, so there were some people that would drive an hour to get to school every morning. So, but still a pretty big graduating class, so there was like 300 some in my graduating class, which is similar size school to Norwin. Played sports growing up.
Here's a trivia as you're talking about West Virginia. Did you know that the toothbrush was invented in West Virginia?
I did not.
Yeah. The reason you know...
There's toothbrush, so many jokes there.
Well, the toothbrush was invented in West Virginia. If it wasn't, it would have been called a teeth brush. But West Virginia only has one. So.
Oh, boy. Anybody listening in West Virginia right now, we apologize.
That's a good one.
It was good.
I've not heard that
one. It was
before,
funny. I never heard that.
I don't know if it really was invented there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought you were being serious.
No, I think it was. I'll look it up while you keep talking. But so you're getting into your sports in high school. Yeah.
Well, speaking of things from West Virginia, Alabama's coach is from West Virginia, or ex-coach now because he just retired. Saban. Nick Saban.
Nick.
No, is it Nick Saban? That's bad.
I think
so. I can't remember his first name.
Coach
Saban.
Yeah, coach. Let's go, coach.
But I played a lot of sports in high school, middle school, baseball, cross country, basketball, 4 years. And that was kind of my identity, was just around sports. I came to faith very early on in my life. But as I grew in sports and my focus was going to college to play sports. And so originally I wanted to go, my plan was either to become a physical therapist and play sports, probably baseball. There's a couple of schools that were recruiting me for baseball, or if that didn't work out, I was going to go into the Air Force and be a fighter pilot. And I wanted to fly F-18s.
Wow. That
was my, okay. Those were like the two big things that I wanted to do. All while that, like, those were my plans. At the same time, in my heart, I knew that, like, I was called to ministry. Mm-hmm. Like, probably that connected with me around seventh grade. I felt that call. And so, and that was a life lesson for me, because the more I pursued sports and other things as, like, my long-term dream and occupation, the more uncomfortable I felt with pursuing those things.
Okay.
Because it pulled me away from where I felt I was called with ministry.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
When people say, like, called to ministry, or just, mm-hmm. like, called, or, like, was it just the feeling of it was pulling you away, and that's what that was?
Yeah, I think it's different for everyone. Mm-hmm. There are specific times in my life where I can visibly remember. So we had a woodshed, and it was my brother and I's job to bring wood in from the woodshed during the winter, because we had a wood stove that heated the house. And it was like, we had to take this cart of wood, like 100 yards. It was such a pain. And so I just visibly remember during those, me getting wood in, that was always my daydreaming time of what I'm going to be when I grow up. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking about, you know, my dream of being a baseball player, and just having this voice inside my head saying, oh, I want you in ministry. And then that's when I started bargaining. Well, God, if I become a famous baseball player, I can use money to, like, help you. And like, you know, if I go into the military, I can do this. And so it's like all these things that I use as bargaining chips away from it. Mm-hmm. I think that call is different for everyone. I had a much more audible call as well. My going into my senior year of high school at a CIY conference, actually on Johnson's campus. It was pouring down the rain, and I went outside after, like, they call it cry night or whatever. It was kind of like a big emotional night at CIY. And I remember going outside under this tree that's on Johnson's campus still, and just sitting under there and just, you know, mm-hmm. talking with God and committing to ministry at that point, and having that kind of audible call. And then going into my senior year, I was getting recruited by a lot of different schools for baseball. And so I was trying to navigate, okay, how do I go to these schools to play and then still go into ministry? Mm-hmm. And then I threw my arm out. So before I even got to throw a single game my senior year of high school, I got overexcited for the season. I had taken, typically as a pitcher, you take about 3 months off to let your arm rehab, because I'd play year round. And so from November until February, I wouldn't throw. And then you want to get back into it gradually. Well, I went back full tilt and just, like, was so excited. I went and threw a bullpen, a huge, long bullpen, as hard as I could, and just messed up my shoulder really bad. And still, it's still pretty messed up. So I didn't pitch my senior year. And it's kind of like that perfect opportunity for me to say, why is this what I'm pursuing? And so rather than thinking of, what's the best school for me to go play baseball at and try to do ministry on the side, I went to my senior minister at the time and said, what's the best school for ministry? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't just throw, because he was giving me schools that could do both. And I just said, throw it out of the equation. Where should I go? And he said, Johnson. And so that was in the summer that he said that we had that conversation. So I applied and left about a month later, never even went and visited the school or anything, uh-huh. just went.
Wow.
Had my classes and everything set up, and
parents were supporting you and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of like a whirlwind at that point. So went to Johnson, and that was very formative. I highly, anyone going into ministry, anyone wanting to use a ministry mindset, because Johnson has a lot of different programs now, but anyone who wants to do a career where they also want to be a disciple maker, want to be using whatever they're doing to spread the gospel, Johnson is just an excellent community. It's an excellent education system.
So Johnson University, for those that don't know, is down in Tennessee.
Knoxville, yeah.
Knoxville, Tennessee. Now get to the the best part of your story, which is your internship that you took at Johnson University.
Yeah.
I was going to say, was that him meeting his wife there?
Oh, but, no. That's
the internship.
The internship.
It was me meeting Jeff. That's what
yes,
he said.
Yes. I knew it was coming.
Sorry, Isabella.
Yeah. I actually didn't even know Isabella at that point. Isabella and I met 2 months,
we'll
3 months
get to that. Talk about
before
Jeff.
Graduating. junior year, I was trying to figure out my internship because you're required to do an internship to graduate. And just went on Johnson's web page or whatever they have their little listings for. Mm-hmm. And there's two options that I had applied to both of them. One was in New Jersey.
Ugh.
And they offered the position. So I don't think I've already.
Everybody in West Virginia has turned it off. Everybody in New Jersey is now
two states down, 48 to go.
I don't think I ever told you that though. But like, they offered me the position.
Oh no, I didn't know.
And part of it was they were saying, "We want you to take this position and maybe turn it into getting a full time position there."
Mm.
And that was actually a preaching internship. So my major was preaching and church leadership, not preaching and youth ministry.
Okay.
And that would have been a preaching internship, but there was just something that I just knew that wasn't the spot. And then shortly after they offered that internship, I got in touch with Jeff and had an interview with him. And he said,
who,
well, it's between,
at the time was the was youth the, minister.
Yeah, he was
right?
the youth minister. And he said, it's between you and one other guy. I don't know who the other guy was. But
I don't either.
But no. I won. And then, the rest is history.
No,
came
Garrett,
here as an
we
intern.
We won.
Okay. So, and just loved my internship. It was a great experience. And Jeff is well known in Kentucky now because... For my first, in Kentucky, my first church, full-time ministry was Freedom Christian Church. And they became my family. Like they were, I was very close with everyone there. And for my first 2 years of ministry there, I was there for almost 6 years. First 2 years was in youth ministry. And everything I did as a youth minister, Jeff got credit. Like, where did you get this idea? Well, Jeff. And so people got to the point where they said, did you get this from Jeff? So people know you.
Good job, Kentucky. Yeah. Good job.
So far, West Virginia, New Jersey, thumbs down, but Kentucky.
Well, now, hey, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So eventually, you did your internship. That was a summer-long internship you did. Mm-hmm. Events with us, camp.
Going into junior year.
I actually met you. Whenever you were intern here. Yeah, I was doing some, we didn't attend here yet, but I was doing some signs inside the building and you were here, so.
Don't remember that. Yep. That's interesting. Yeah. Usually I remember those things. Huh.
I'm a forgettable person,
I don't
guess.
Know. That's interesting. Yeah.
No one in Kentucky knows your name, Matt.
No, you're
sorry.
Not. I dog sat for Allison and Jim at their old house on Arona. Well, I guess they're still on Arona Road, but yeah. So.
We should
fun.
Probably give out their address on the podcast.
Yes, absolutely.
Jim and Allison Murray live at. So you went back to school?
Yeah, I went back
now
senior year.
We can get to Isabella. Yeah.
So that was... So at Johnson, if you don't meet your wife on the first try... you're considered to be you're given I don't know, a dot or something that people stay away from him. It didn't work out for him the first.
They
so
made
I
it
had,
through freshman year without dating somebody.
Without getting married.
I had three or four girlfriends at Johnson. Because my view is, I know within a month that I'm not going to marry you. I'm not going to keep this relationship going.
Right.
And so I got this reputation of, he dates people and doesn't marry them. And then me and Isabella met... I had gone 6 months and just kind of, I remember I went, I February 4th, I went and did my interview at Freedom. They hired me on February 5th, which is my birthday. Hmm. And then I went and started doing weekend whenever I didn't have baseball. I'd go and do stuff there at Freedom. And in around April, I remember talking to some people and saying, yeah, I don't know if I'll ever get married. I might just end up like Paul. Literally 2 weeks later, me and Isabella met.
Yeah.
And
God
and
had a different
dating.
Plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have an interesting history of our dating. Some some weird stories about like dates gone wrong. Like my second date, I took her to the comic book store. Like I'm a huge fan of comics. And I used to spend way too much money a month on comics. And so I took her to my comic book store where I had like a, it's called a, it's called a pull, meaning it's like they, when comics come in, they pull them and put them in your folder. And so you get access to them all the time. So I had like a pretty big pull and I took her to go collect my pull for that, that week. My truck broke down on the way back. So I take her to the comic book store. Not a great second date. No. My truck breaks down on the way back. And so we're sitting in the middle of Chapman Highway. The tow truck comes, picks us up. We sit in my truck on the tow truck. So we don't get out of my truck and get into the tow truck. We just sit on the back of the tow truck reading comic books going down the road to the tow, to the
That's
shop.
Hysterical.
So that was our second date.
Yeah. Yeah.
On our third date, I called her Elizabeth. So I didn't even call
it
right
that story,
name.
Yeah.
So a lot of things going against us. Mm-hmm. Plus, we were graduating like a month after we met, mm-hmm. and she was moving to Virginia Beach, and I was moving to Kentucky.
And she's
a lot
not
of stacked against us.
She's not from here.
No, so mm-hmm. she's from Brazil, and she had like a work visa when we finished. Well, actually. Technically, she had a student visa that lasts a year past graduation.
Okay.
For her, because she graduated in 3 years, because she's just a go-getter. So that expired within a year of her graduating, but we got married before that expired.
Okay.
So we only technically dated, because it was one of those things, like, you know, mm-hmm. within a month, that you're not going to marry this person, but right. you also know within a month, like, this is someone I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Right.
So we got engaged within 7 months of dating and got married within a year of mm-hmm. dating. And the rest is history.
She has one of the most fascinating accents I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's not Brazilian.
No.
It's,
well, I was going to say,
it's like Brazilian Southern.
Yes. Yeah, it moves between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So she learned English from watching cartoons.
Okay.
In Brazil. Like,
and
she
reading comics.
And, well, no. I wish. Yeah. But she watched a lot of SpongeBob and watched a lot of stuff, and she started watching them with English subtitles. But they were in Portuguese, which is the Brazilian language. And then she would watch them in English with Portuguese subtitles.
Okay.
And that's how she learned English. Huh. But she was shy and never really talked much. She's not a shy person at all. She's very extroverted. But when she got here, she was afraid to speak English. And so then when she started speaking English, she very quickly picked up the Southern accent.
Gotcha.
In Knoxville and in yeah. Kentucky, there's a lot of Southern accents. So,
eventually... as a church, we knew we were looking for this position. I ended up reaching out to you going, hey, I know we had talked throughout the years.
You had reached out to me when the youth minister position.
That's right.
I remember your name being brought up.
You reached out to me about a year after I started being the senior minister at Freedom.
Okay.
And I just, no offense, I didn't want to go back into youth ministry.
Yeah, no, I understand that.
I really love getting deep, and you know, I don't relate very well to young people. Not that mm-hmm. like I enjoy the same things, but I'm much more like an older soul, I guess. Mm-hmm. So I senior ministry and being like with people older than me was more of my wheelhouse than youth ministry was.
Yeah,
You reached out another couple years later
yep.
with this position. Yep. And
so tell us some of your thought process in that you weren't necessarily looking to leave your church in Kentucky. You'd said earlier that very much became your family. So when thinking about leaving a church and God's call and moving even from senior ministry to now a different role, small groups, outreach. What was that decision process like? What are some things that went through your head?
Well, one of the questions in my interview was, on paper, it looks like you're not downgrading. What is it? Like you get a promotion, it's like a demotion.
Okay.
I don't see it as that way. I see it as I'm stepping into where I feel called. Mm-hmm. And it was very difficult because on one level, Isabel and I felt very confident that our time at Freedom, as much as we loved and still love, I mean, they're still our family. We still connect with a lot of them. That church, we just felt like it was time for us to go to, for someone else to step in, maybe for whatever reason, or there was no animosity, there was no hardship or like church split taking place or anything like that. It's just we felt as if it was time for us to step away. And shortly after we started that process, Grayson was born. So we were already pregnant with him whenever you had reached out. And then Grayson was born as the process was continuing, and it kind of solidified because our family is now about 2.5 hours away compared to 9 hours. And that opportunity just really made a lot of sense logistically. But we also just felt that it was a step for us wherever God was directing. Mm-hmm. To look at it as a demotion, I think, is to look at it from kind of a... would have been to have looked at it from the worldly standards of an occupation. Mm-hmm. And I don't think of ministry fully as an occupation. It's something that I do to glorify God. And, you know, it covers, it also allows us to, you know, survive.
Yeah, yes. Pay the bills.
But we just both felt strongly. And when we first moved here, we started the small group, the young couple small group that we are in now, and we did a study on experiencing God. Mm-hmm. And I had read that book by Henry Blackaby years ago. And then I was reading it through kind of a new lens of leaving behind this church that on paper just made sense for us to stay there forever. Why would we leave? And then I'm reading this experiencing God, and one of the things that he points out is, well, God doesn't, to experience God and to follow God, a lot of times it doesn't make sense on paper why we're doing what we're doing. Mm. It's just, he leads us somewhere and we just go, and eventually we'll see why he led us there. And I think that's very much reminiscent of what took place there. You know, we could see some reasons why. I mean, it brings us closer to family and you know, things like that, but logically, we were leaving a healthy church. I loved what I was doing. I loved the church. But I knew going back to the struggle I had in high school of like pursuing the call of ministry. And I didn't want to remain uncomfortable terms with God, where I felt like he was leading me one way, but I wanted to do another thing. And that's just not a comfortable place to be in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I didn't want to go into that for the rest of, you know, to be in that position doing ministry.
Yeah. So even though we knew you and reached out to you and said, hey, you want to come apply for this position, it wasn't like I just brought you along and you're hired. You still went through, we set up a team, a search team. You sent in your resume. You went through interviews to apply. You and Isabel came up. The moment I think, because I thought you'd be a great fit. And I think the search, I wasn't even on the search team. I just kind of put your name to them and said, hey, this is the history he has with us. The moment I was like, oh, I think they're going to come up here is when Isabella said how much she loves Big Macs and McDonald's and that we have the Big Mac Museum.
Yeah.
Yes. And I was like, oh, we got him. We got him.
Brazil, McDonald's is a lot more expensive. And so she didn't get it a lot growing up. Yeah. And so she loves McDonald's. And, yeah.
So tell us in a few minutes, since you've been here now for a year, have you continued to feel from God, yes, this is where God has led me? Has he confirmed that call? And then what have been some of those highlights over the last year for you?
Yeah, I think we are definitely, we were definitely called to be here. And as far as like a timetable goes, like, I don't, I don't put time tables on ministry because you never know, just from, you know, freedom's perspective. You know, I would have assumed I would just stay there forever. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden something gets put into your lap and you just feel like, and from that background, there was other churches that had reached out, and you just kind of like, knowing when you're dating someone real quickly, it's not, you know, that's not the marriage. It was the same way. Like, I just knew, like, I'd never pursued any of them, but Norwin was the one where, like, the first time you reached out, I knew that wasn't the one. Mm-hmm. And the second time, it was kind of this, almost like a breath where, I don't know, so let mm-hmm. me look into it a little mm-hmm. bit more. And the more I looked into it. And so all that to say, timetable-wise, in my view, for ministry at least, you never know. But I feel confidently, you know, this is where we yeah. were called to be. Good. And there's a lot of things that have been exciting. The young couples group that we've been a part of, seeing how that's taken off has been cool. And
I was going to say, that's an amazing yeah. group that you have.
Yeah, we really love it. And, you know, that feels... I talk a lot about in small groups. I think small groups is essential to modern church because it's how we emphasize community. Mm-hmm. It's how we live out what the early church looked like as far as community and study and caring for one another. And I don't just say that. I get to be experience that, which is really fun. And kind of driving that emphasis has been really cool within small groups. And it's really amazing to see just how devoted, you know, statistically our church is with small groups.
Mm-hmm. Very much so, yeah.
The Christian Standard came out with their church report mm-hmm. this past month. And the average percentage of attendance that participates in small groups is like under right around 40%.
Okay.
And ours is over 80%.
Yeah.
Which is wow. just like we're That's double great. The average, which is so cool.
That's wild.
To see like yeah. the commitment to community that we have here.
Mm. And we're then a just, bigger church too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's,
yeah. yeah. It's really cool. And then the the drive for outreach has been cool. And to... Which honestly, that's been a little bit more daunting to me. Like, I'm very much more study and growth minded as far as, you know, academics go. I'm doing I did a researching master's and I'm doing my doctorate. And so the study aspect and the small group aspect and teaching, like, that's natural for me. Mm-hmm. The outreach was a little bit of a stretch. I love serving and I love, you know, I think we're called to do that, to go into the community and serve, sure. but organizing the outreach, that's been a little bit, that's stretched me some. Mm-hmm. But I'm also encouraged by being able to be stretched and see a side of ministry that I had seen a little bit of at Freedom, but then just had to expand. That's been fun. But a little bit more nerve-wracking, I think, a little bit sure. more behind-the-scenes work than I'm used to. So that's, it's been cool, but it's also probably been the more difficult aspect mm-hmm. of everything.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot for sharing your journey and how you came to join us and some of the things that God was working in your heart during that time. Another thing that we want to talk about today, when you're watching this, is our new search. I mean, we just yeah. talked about Garrett being our newest staff member, but we're currently in a search for a worship minister. And just like Garrett's position was brand new, this full-time worship pastor position or minister position is a new one for us too mm-hmm. as a church. And so that's really exciting. Currently, we have a couple that's been leading our worship for, I think they said, close to 30 years, if yeah. not over yeah. 30 years, mm-hmm. doing a phenomenal job with it. But as we continue to grow as a church, we know there's a cap to what we can ask volunteers to do. Mm-hmm. And it's already hard to ask them to do anything beyond what they're already doing because they do so much when it comes to leading worship. All is volunteer. Yeah. They haven't been paid in that 30 years. And
they both already have full-time jobs that are big yeah, jobs.
Yep. And so... we're excited about this. We're excited to invite a new staff member to join us in this worship minister position. We're not saying where we are currently is bad. In fact, what we said on stage when we announced this position is that a lot of things that we're currently doing, we still want to do. We're not looking mm-hmm. for a huge change in the way we do worship or in our Sunday morning service. A lot of the things are going to stay the same. But some aspects outside of Sunday morning that we just don't have anybody to do now. Mm-hmm. And so some of that just looks like coming to staff meetings. We do staff meetings about every other week. We talk about the direction of the church. We talk about 90-day goals. We talk about what's in front of us, what we need help with, check in with one another. We have a morning prayer time every single weekday at 10 a.m.
Part of the staff meetings is going through your sermon series too and connecting
absolutely.
Getting everything streamlined.
Yeah. And so that there's going to be just a lot of collaboration, I guess, is what I'm getting at with the new staff position, which can't happen with volunteers.
Right.
I would never ask a volunteer to sit through our staff meeting. Not that they're that boring.
They're very long.
But they are long. And we talk about everything in the church, you know, even things that don't pertain to our area of influence are important for us to know as staff members. And so
logistics of parking and
communion, different things like that. So that's going to be a big part of the job. And that's something that just raises the level of that position, mm-hmm. you know, from going to volunteer to staff. And it's not anything the volunteer can't do or can't handle, but it just raises the level of expectation and excellence when we're able to integrate all these things with collaboration in a full-time sense. Mm. And we don't want to burn our volunteers out either. We don't want to ask a volunteer to do so much that someday they just come to us and say, I can't handle it. Mm-hmm. I'm done.
Right.
Then we need to fill that gap or we need to find other people. And so, I mean, there's a lot of people that speak into worship ministry currently, because what we're looking for isn't just someone to lead on stage. We're looking for a person that also does some of the tech side of things. Mm-hmm. And in our job description, we say coordinate all the details of the service and make sure the musical and technical aspects help support its theme. And so Matt, as you're part of this conversation, some of that is something you currently do.
Yeah.
Right. When it comes to overseeing the people at the soundboard, over people seeing it, the slides, live stream.
Yeah. So you're getting fired? Is that what this means?
That's it.
He's out of here. Finally.
Finally. Jeff's plan came to fruition. Now, yeah, that part of my job, I am, you know, stepping back from, will be stepping back from whenever we hire whoever God has in store for us. And what you were saying, Jeff, about only being able to expect so much from a volunteer and not wanting to overburden them with that. As sure as many of you know, I own a business as well. Mm-hmm. So I own a business. I do this quote unquote part-time. My wife says I have two full-time jobs just because of how much time it takes up. So this is definitely something that I am looking forward to being able to take a step back, at least on the tech side of things here at the church. A lot of work goes into what you see on a Sunday morning, that pretty much most of my Saturday is taken up mm-hmm. with doing. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to getting back the time. I said, I look forward to being able to wake up on a Saturday morning, going down, getting a cup of coffee and just sitting on the couch and watching TV.
Yeah.
Cause again, with my full-time job, you know, God's been blessing us like crazy lately, and mm-hmm. it's just burning the candle at both ends. So the tech side of things I'll be stepping back from. Still going to be on staff though. The new title is, you know, communication and social media director or something to that extent. Okay. So yeah, that's looking forward to it.
Yeah
I am.
And both Matt and Ken and Kelly, who do lead the worship team, are part of the search committee mm-hmm. for this person that we're looking to bring on. And so we're excited for that, because you guys get to speak into those areas of expertise as we're looking for someone to come on board with us. And hey, this is how it looks for me. This is maybe what they need. This is what our church currently needs. You know, do their skills meet what we need? Mm-hmm. And so for you guys to speak into that as we search, kind of what our search process looks like. as a church, historically, what we've done and what we're doing with this is we create a team with staff and volunteers that put out the job description. They look at resumes that come in. We came up with a questionnaire kind of as a follow-up to ask more questions about this person. We're going to set up Zoom interviews, go through all of that. And then our church elders make the final decision. Mm-hmm. And so as the search team comes to their conclusion and says, okay, this person is who we think we should bring on, they hand that over to the elders. And the elders at that point have already been involved in the process, probably part of the interview. And so they're the ones that make the offer to that person, say, hey, would you come on staff with us and what we're doing? And so, you know, some of the questions that we've had with different people in the church as we announced this, I think we announced it to our congregation maybe a month ago at this point, as they said, well, what else is this person going to do, or what are they going to do that our current volunteers don't do? And some of it is we don't know, because right. This is a new position. You know, like sometimes I have an idea for a sermon or a video that would go along with the sermon on a Friday. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, Matt's already doing 50 things when he should really only be doing 30 things. I'm not going to ask him to do a 51st thing on a Friday, but maybe a staff member I would, you know, mm-hmm. or we could make a video throughout the week that really illustrates the sermon. That's part of the job description, is to come up with videos. And, you know, what if they're able to make a celebration video for an event we have? And we've done those in the past, but we can't do it with every single event we have.
Right.
You know, we do a big prom dress event here at the church. What if we're able to make a video promoting that or to celebrate that after that happens? And just a lot of things that we just haven't been able to even think about.
Right.
Because we've had a capacity, you know, with volunteers in this. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that I'm really excited about is, you know, I believe God put me in this spot to get us from where we were 6 or 7 years ago to where we are now, mm-hmm. just with the team I have too, working behind the scenes on everything. I'm super proud of what we were able to do during COVID, and kind of maintain the community as best as we could whenever we weren't able to meet and everything. Mm-hmm. But like you said, there's stuff that hasn't been done that I either don't have the time or bandwidth to think about, or just, you know, it hasn't come to mind yet, that I'm looking forward to seeing how we can improve. And again, not like totally altering service, or not like no lasers or snow machines. Yeah, well, maybe some snow machines, but that, but just improving. Yeah. I like to use the term tightening the screws. Like we have the framework, mm-hmm. let's just tighten those screws a little bit to improve and make it better. And so I know I'm super excited about this.
Yeah. And if you've been to our church building during the week, you know, there's so many things that happen throughout the week. And so bringing on a new staff member, you know, a lot of people like worship songs to be played at funerals and mm-hmm. weddings. So we're expecting them to help in that capacity. Even if it's not playing the keyboard or guitar or something for one of those, it's at the soundboard or the mm-hmm. controls, hitting different buttons. And so that serves our church in capacities outside of worship services on a Sunday morning. And so some of that will be part of the job description. And so, you know, right now it's pretty wide open as far mm-hmm. as who we're looking for. If you are interested in our job description, maybe for yourself or for someone you know, it's posted on our website, normchristianchurch.com. It's
/jobs.
Yeah. It's also one of the tabs. If you click over jobs at NCC, you can kind of read through our expectations, our job description, what we're hoping some requirements are for this person that would come on board with us. But we're excited about it. We welcome any questions. If you have any questions, you're a member here at NCC or regular attender, we'd love to talk to you about it. You know, what we're looking for, what this person is going to do. We don't have a timeline. You know, Garrett spoke about his understanding of timelines. The moment you put something out there, God's like, okay, I'll do something,
something
about
else
that.
In mind.
And so we're open to, you know, just taking the time to find the right person. We've known how difficult that can be here at Norman Christian Church as we've hired people over the years. It can take quite a while to find the right fit and the right person. And ultimately, I think that's that's our greatest concern is the right fit. You know, certain skills can be learned and taught. And so maybe that needs to be taught, but we know, you know, integrity can't be taught. Somebody's character and how they're a team player, how they're a leader. There's a lot of those attributes and characteristics that we're looking for from a person far above certain instrument that they play or the quality and all that. So anything else from you guys as far as what we talked about today?
I just think, too, you look at the, talking about the right fit, you look at the cohesiveness of our staff as it is right now. I think that plays a big part into how our church is also growing, just the camaraderie and the love that we all have for one another. And I think that shows to the rest of the congregation. And so, yeah, we're taking our time, like you said, making sure it's the right fit. And we'll see. Again, I keep using the word excited, but I'm genuinely excited to see what God has in store for us to see where we go for here.
From
here.
I think... The fact that we're not tied to any sort of timetable, that we're just open to making sure it's that right fit,
right.
You know, that speaks into our mentality behind it. We're not trying to get bigger, 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 bigger as quick as possible. We want to make sure that everything we do falls under the purview of God's sovereignty and direction, and we're just waiting for his timing and for his guidance and provision into that. So we're not doing any of this to make ourselves look better or, you know, on the surface to be the next step into a mega church or something like that. Right, that's right, not at all the goal.
Yep.
The goal is to step into God's plan and design and into his direction. And we feel this is part of that, and we'll wait for him to bring it together.
We would love for you to join us in prayer as we continue to search for this person, continue to pray for Garrett and his ministry. Just we're excited as he continues to serve with us and the things that he's already brought here to NCC as he does outreach and the different partnerships we have with organizations, as he does small groups and the amount of small groups that we have. And we're just excited about his ministry, all he's done. We're excited about this worship ministry position and what that could mean. And so just join us in prayer for that. We'd really appreciate that. And again, we just thank you so much for joining us for NCC Unplugged.
Also, Garrett made it through an entire episode without using a Greek or Latin
term.
Yeah. Well done.
Good job. Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in to NCC Unplugged. If you've enjoyed listening to our podcast, we encourage you to share this with your friends and family. NCC Unplugged is available on all major podcast platforms. And if you're ever interested in experiencing Norwin Christian Church firsthand, we invite you to join us for our services every Sunday at 8:45 and 10:30 a.m. We have engaging classes available for all ages, ensuring there's something meaningful for everyone in our church community. For more information about NCC or any other inquiries, visit norwinchristianchurch.com